From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
This is Chiefs Kingdom, and this is Locked On Chiefs. I know you're mad. You should be. You should all be furious. It is a pretty ridiculous day when your MVP comes back, does what he did, and this team manages to find a way to lose. And that's exactly what they did. I'm here with Chris Clark, Chiefs Digest. I'm Ryan Tracy from RGR Football and Rogue Analytics. And there is no other story this particular day other than this team blew a golden opportunity, an MVP back on the field, and somehow was not prepared in a number of ways. We're going to split it and talk about the offense versus the defense later, but top of the game just wasn't clicking on in any way, shape, or form today. What stands out to you?
Special teams miscues. You look at, there was two different plays in this game, and I'm not even talking about the block kick, because that you kind of expect a 52-yard field goal. It's going to have a low trajectory, so it's not surprising that it was a low kick. But the botched snap from James Winchester to Dustin Colquitt that put them in a position to turn the ball over and throw the ball away and get a penalty, giving the Titans, you know, even more yardage towards getting a touchdown. And then, you know, a little looked at play, the catching the ball at the 3-yard line on a punt at the very end of the first half. If he lets that ball go and he gets to the 20, Kansas City had, I think, all three timeouts at that point, and they have an opportunity to actually run a couple of plays and see if they can do something with it. I don't know that they would have, because they just lost two offensive linemen the series before, but it would have left the opportunity open.
Oh, we're going to talk about the linemen and when to run and when not to run later in the show, because
But I don't have a problem with that third down call, honestly. No,
well, I do, but we're going to talk about that later. We're going to stick on this because you're right. A little out of kilter for this special teams unit. Now, the thing that stood out to me, especially about Hardman taking that punt at the 3, it didn't look like there was an argument. Dave Tope did not look upset to me. It looked like they were discussing about what they want to do or what they would have done. It didn't seem like there was a mistake made there. That seems like it was following through with a plan.
I don't think so. I think Tope looked like he thought he made a mistake, but you know, you and I saw it differently. I thought Tope was getting after him, and Anthony Sherman came and tried to pull him away because Hardman was jawing back right back at him. So to me, it looked like Tope was not very happy, and you just cannot make those mistakes. And the Chiefs shot themselves how many times in the foot early in the game and were able to overcome it with all the penalties.
That's going to come back and haunt you. Yeah, that's the big thing to me. Like, all of a sudden, you get Mahomes back and you start shooting yourself in the foot again. It makes no sense after what we've seen this team do when they felt, hey, we have to do this ourselves because we don't have Pat. The last couple of weeks, they've been cleaner. They've been getting better. They've been running better. They've been playing better defense. You get Pat back and everything seemed to fall apart. And I don't know how you equate that or what drives what, but that's what I saw on that field today.
Well, I think part of the running thing was you're going up against Derrick Henry, who's one of the best running backs in the NFL. And yeah, I said he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. He is a big bruiser, and that is something that's going to hurt this team, especially when they're not able to have their big D lineman out there. And they really were hurting at size. Sitting Pinnell was a real surprise to me.
Yeah.
I thought it should have been something that they had him play and set Ivy.
Right. I completely agree with you. And I know you're an Ivy guy. So that coming from you is significant. And I like what Ivy does against the pass, but they are clearly two halves. Ivy is a pass rush guy that gets beat up in the run, and the opposite for Pinnell, right? I thought that was a missed decision. I tweeted it out before the game. I want an explanation. I don't understand the thinking behind doing that when you have Derrick Henry running at you and you know he's coming. But,
well, I think the only decision that they could have possibly made in thought is that they were going to get out to an early lead against the Titans and take Derrick Henry out of the game. That's the only way that decision makes sense.
Right. And I agree with you. And I think that's a miscalculation that you make that assumption, especially given the status of your offensive line.
What I will say, though, is this play turned on a turnover. And you look at that fumble by Damian Williams, it completely changed the path of this game.
I agree with you there, but that's not the only thing. I will not say that that's what caused this game. I will not say that Winchester snap is what caused it. No, I know. I'm seeing a lot of people being angry about specific plays. It's not specific plays. This whole team was too loose, too unprepared, and took the Titans for not a team that could slap them in the face. And Ryan Tannehill all by himself proved that. And when we come back, we're going to get into the specifics. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can improve your performance and have that extra confidence.
Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. You'll get your shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So, you want to start offense? Where do you want to go? Because there's
doesn't
just
matter
much.
To me. I'm pretty open. Injuries, we don't know about Rankin, but it sure looks like he's probably out for the rest of the year. Hate to see Schwartz go down with an injury and lose his consecutive snap streak. Although he was able to come back in and play in the second half and looked okay, so looks like he's okay. Chiefs. Almost lost Tyree Kill to an injury, you thought. He came back in and was fine.
I think he was able to play. I'll be really interested to see if he's fine or not. That looked... I was pretty concerned. We'll see what the fallout
is. They lose Ogba during the game, and I think that really hurt them.
I agree with you there, especially like you were saying in the first segment about once you've made that decision... Well, and we'll talk about Ogba when we talk defense. On the offensive side of the ball, I was really happy to see Schwartz come back in. That was great. And I feel like from my perspective, the MVP, if you didn't watch this game and you just see 446 yards and three touchdowns, it looks like Patrick's back to his normal self. That was not the case from what I saw. I thought the first half was pretty shaky with accuracy. I felt like he moved well, but they were clearly getting a lot of aggressive play from the Titans. I thought the O-line was pretty much under fire from the beginning before they even lost anybody. Tough way for him to come back and try to guide this team.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. And there were a couple of drop balls that stick out to me. Sammy Watkins over the middle. The ball was a little high, but I think he jumped. I think he mistimed his jump. Hill, Robinson later in the game had a big drop. Just some killer plays, but on Hills, didn't they come back and they ran a fourth down play and got the first down? So
true.
I don't think it ended up mattering, but those other twos were drive killers.
Well, and I want to say this too, because normally I would have pointed that out too about DeMarcus and that drop, but he made two huge plays down the stretch. That big yardage gainer when they needed it, and then really smart play design, but he executed it very well, getting out of bounds there when they were down to seconds. So I just wanted to point that out for those of you that think I still have a grudge against DeMarcus Robinson. Big time play for him, and he's all over my notes.
No, and I agree. He had big time plays. I'm just saying that was a big drop. He catches that ball. It changes the dynamic of the game, because I think that was a third down, and they ended up having a punt after that. So you look at that play. You look at Sammy Watkins. And let's also say Patrick Mahomes did not play a perfect game. His first pass should have been an interception. Thank you, Tyreek Hill, because it wasn't.
Yeah, there were three.
And later on in the game. Okay, well, and that's fair. Later on in the game, well, he had another one that he threw to Tyreek Hill that was missed as an interception in the same drive. And then later in the first half, he throws a deep ball to Tyreek Hill, who's open by 10 yards, and he overthrows him.
Yeah.
Nine times out of 10, he hits that throw.
Yeah. And like I said, rusty, especially in the first half, I thought he did settle down. He did make that incredible throw to Hardman, literally hanging in midair.
Jump pass.
I'm going to have to go put that in the film room this week, because I just got to see, like, you can say all you want about he's hurt and all that, but when he makes plays like that, it makes you understand that, yes, his mobility is hurt by this injury, but this guy can do anything, and he doesn't need a base to do it from. I was shocked. My jaw was literally open for like the next two plays.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal throw, phenomenal play by Pat to basically know that all he had to do is just give himself an extra half second, and he's able to make that throw, and that's all he did. And he took a hit for it, but that was a heck of a play by him.
He took more hits than He should have, especially when at one point, at least for a snap, they were down to four backups playing along his offensive line. Schwartz did come back in, like you said, so ended up with three, but still just ragtag trying to protect him. I thought he did the best that he could with that particular group. I can't fault anything. I tell you what, and I want to segue to the run game because I'm pretty upset. I feel like that third down, like you were talking about, third and two, right? They haven't done the game book yet, so I don't have the plays in front of me, but
yes, it was third and two.
I know it's a pivotal play and you want to get that first down, but you had made 3 or 4 yards on the run before. And I'll give Damian Williams credit. He's all over my notes as well. Honestly, early for the fumble, for not running through tackles, for not attacking tacklers, for really looking pretty shy of contact early in the game. He came on late in the game and had a couple of nice runs and looked like he was starting to hit a rhythm, and they were starting to get some blocks with the backups in there. And I just feel
it's funny.
I'm sorry, just to finish my thought. I just feel like even if you hadn't gotten that first down, you would have eaten 45 seconds off that clock. And that ended up being a really important factor in this game.
No, because they were able to take a timeout, same that they did with Mahomes. Mahomes didn't throw the ball. He slid.
Still, run the ball. Get that all the way down because you'd have a punt coming beyond it. Then you could do the whole same thing. I mean, you don't want to pull Belichick, but I mean, you could, I guess.
Third and two, my point is it ended up not mattering. If they wouldn't have got the first down, they wouldn't have got the first down. Mahomes ended up taking a 3-yard loss on a sack, which ended up not mattering because the snap was way off and they never got the field goal off. But it wasn't going to change the amount of time. Mahomes didn't throw the ball. So time-wise, Kansas City was in the same position they were going to be in regardless. Now, if you want to say that he should have, run the ball, fine. You can say he should have run the ball. I disagree because the Titans are going to know he's going to be expecting a run. And Kansas City, you would expect to be able to get a 2-yard pass on a slant to somebody. I would have taken a slant to Travis Kelce and figured that's what it was going to be. So I was okay with them trying to throw the ball there. Mahomes was smart enough not to throw the ball and not to get an incompletion. So they had to run time and take a timeout.
Yeah, I'll give Pat credit there. I just feel like it's a wasted opportunity. You've been running better in the fourth quarter. It just feels like, again, an aversion to doing what's simple and most effective in a situation. And I have a problem with that. I feel like there were a lot of coaching mistakes this game.
Well, and that's fine. You can think there are a lot of coaching mistakes. I'm not going to necessarily argue with you on that. But what I will say is you have to wonder, at least in my mind, if LeSean McCoy is in that game, do they run the ball there on third and two?
Do you think that makes a difference?
We haven't even talked about the fact that he was inactive. I think it does.
Okay. Yeah,
I think Reed looks at him as a different player than Damian Williams. And I'm sorry, Damian Williams is not a guy I'm giving the ball to at third and two, expecting him to get a first down. He's just not that type of back. That's more of a Darrell Williams type run. And even in that situation, I'm not going to question whether or not they threw the ball there or not, because in Kansas City's offense, that type of play works 90% of the time,
except when it doesn't.
And their running defense, their rushing offense hasn't been great with their offensive line,
but it had been in the fourth quarter. That's my point. They were building momentum that way. And honestly, I agree with you. I think Shady being active would have changed things. But in that situation, if you don't feel you can get 2 yards with Damian Williams running straight ahead, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, why not pitch it? Why not do something to get to the edges? Do something other than taking a chance and not continuing to attack, get yourself in a good position. Because what was that? That was a tight end screen that he took the kneel down on, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded a jet sweep or something to that effect, because they haven't run that at all this year, which is surprising to me. With all the things that Andy Reid's done, he hasn't run a jet sweep that I can remember.
He did run the little shovel pass, I was happy to see that.
Yeah, and I like that. In that situation, it doesn't shock me that they were going to throw the ball, because in Andy Reid's system, that has been a very high percentage play for this team. And it made sense to me in that situation to try to do that, because you would expect what they're going to do is they're going to be trying to stuff everything at the line of scrimmage and, having 8 in the box. So it didn't shock me that they were trying to throw it. It didn't work out. Pat was smart enough to get down on the ball and give them a chance for a field goal. And that's when you have a huge blow up on the snap with James Winchester throwing it to or snapping it to Dustin Colquitt, and he wasn't ready.
And you know, and I can't blame Colquitt for any of that. I mean, yeah, he chucked the ball. There was no receiver. I mean, that's an instinctual thing. You don't practice that. You don't. He was trying to get the ball, not lose more yardage. Yes, the penalty ended up hurting him, but I'm not going to blame him for that. Pass game. I thought Sammy didn't show me enough. I don't have his targets in front of me. Just 2 receptions for 12 yards. Big play from Mecole Hardman. I think he really showed what he brings to the table. He's not Tyreek Hill in terms of speed, but he's not that far behind either.
Well, and it's funny because he doesn't seem to get many plays. They seem to leave him off the field, and the plays he ends up having on the field, he sticks out because he does something big like what he did in this game. So it really makes you wonder why he's not getting more snaps.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused too. And maybe it's just side adjustments, still learning curve. It is one of the harder positions on this offense to learn, especially as a rookie. But it does seem to me that when he does get opportunities, he is trying to make the most of them, and he's generally being successful at that. And before we move on to the defense, I do want to say one more thing. Travis Kelce was on. He came to play today. They made some defensive adjustments that took him out of this game late. And that was disappointing to see because I felt like he was on a roll. Anything from him that gave you any concerns?
Not concerns. I was very impressed. His what should have been a second touchdown that got called back for a penalty. He absolutely ran over a Titans defender. Just an absolutely ridiculous play. And if you look, that specific play really cost Kansas City the game. They lose by 2 points. If that's a touchdown, that's a completely different ball game instead of a field goal. So, you know, big penalties for Kansas City that just killed them all game long. And really their offense, I really don't know what to think. Patrick looked like Patrick. He did not look comfortable. And I agree with you in that regard early in the game, but I thought he settled down. I thought he played well. And besides that one miss, that one big miss throw in the second quarter, I thought he played well overall. Actually, I guess that was the first quarter. I thought he played well overall. Had a couple of throws that were close to interceptions that you really don't want to see. But Tyreek Hill dropped 2 balls that he should have had and usually would have.
I agree with you. And you know, and speaking of getting run over, we're going to come back in a minute, folks, to talk about the defense and why Ryan Tannehill can actually just attack people successfully. Long day at work, or are you still stuck in the office? Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners get $5 off their first $15 order when you download the DoorDash app and use the promo code LOCKEDON. I mean, I never saw it in Miami. I haven't seen it to this point in Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill is not a tough guy in my mind. To watch him do that, I mean, literally trucking Juan Thornhill, who I think has been a very good tackler to this point this season as a rookie. And Fenton as well, I think, was the other one. This guy, I underestimated his will to win.
Yeah, I was very surprised by Ryan Tannehill, and I have to throw this out because it is just being noted that there was a possible offsides on the field goal try by the guy that blocked the field goal. We do want to get back to talking about defense, and it also has been announced that Emmanuel Ogba has a torn pec, so his season is over.
That's a big loss. This defense was making a lot of strides. In fact, he did have one of the tackles for loss today. He put in a lot of good work. That's going to be a huge factor moving forward.
I have to wonder if they're going to be able to bring him back now, though. That's the only blessing in disguise on this is that I thought he's played very well for them, and he was off to a fantastic year and was going to be in a great position for a great contract. But at this point with the injury, you would think that maybe he's able to be brought back by Kansas City for next year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought he was under contract for 2, but you're right. Good point. Yeah, that does make that possibility, I think, a lot more likely.
So you have to wonder if Okafor is able to be brought back next year, or this next week, which would help Kansas City's defensive line. We need to talk about them getting run over. Ryan Tannehill ran them over. Derrick Henry ran them over. I will say there was a specific play, and I can't remember when it was. I know it was in the fourth quarter. Tannehill's running for a first down, gets hit by, I think it's Ward, and ends up getting another 4 yards. And I'm sitting there going, why is Tyrann Mathieu not helping?
Mm.
Tyrann Mathieu just stood there and watched him get a first down. And it was frustrating because I at one point I was thinking, okay, well, he just doesn't want to get in trouble for hitting the QB when he's in the grass. But at the same time, you're sitting there going, he's running and he's still
going. He's a runner at that point. Clobber
him. Blowing the whistle.
I thought the same thing on Fenton's tackle too. He looked like he was trying not to hurt him to me. I don't remember the Matthew standing around thing, but yeah, like it seemed like everybody got real trepidation. They're not a passer anymore. They tuck that thing in wrong. It's open season. This is a defense that I felt like had been making a lot of progress in playing with aggression and playing discipline, and it all went out the window. My question to you is,
well, I will take the long pass play early in the game, because I think the defense to that point had been playing well. They had been aggressive, and you're going to get those types of plays to happen when you're aggressive. Yes, you want to see better coverage, and yeah, you have to question where the safety was on that on the help over the top. But if you're going to be aggressive and you're going after a QB, which they had been at that point, and Tannehill hadn't been having success, I'll take those types of plays every once in a while. Obviously, it ended up really hurting them, and it changed the flow of the game, and Tennessee really changed things once that play happened. But up to that point, I thought the defense had played well.
Yeah, especially in parts. It's hard for me to say any defense played well that allowed 188 yards on the ground to one guy. So I have a little bit of problem with that. But again,
but to that point, Henry hadn't been running. I mean, that was before Henry took off for that 68-yard touchdown. That was before he ended up doing much of anything on the ground.
Yeah, timing-wise, you're right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I will give...
I'm just saying...
I'll give credit to the linebackers. I thought for the most part against the run, they played okay. Anthony Hitchens, I don't know what happened on that touchdown. Late, Henry walked in through the B gap, uncovered. It looked like Hitchens was standing there waiting for him to, like, you know, try to go over the top of the pile, like he was going to try to meet him. But in the meantime, just let him waltz in. I was really disappointed in that play. But other than that, I thought the linebackers were pretty solid. And I think they were dealing with the fact, like we talked about earlier, that the defensive line didn't have the same rotation of run defenders to keep them fresh. I thought part of the reason Ivy played as much is because I felt like Saunders got winded. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I didn't see anybody else really lacking in the run game. Did you see specifics for the front seven?
No, I will say, you know, with Ivy and Saunders, you're really lacking some size and girth, and taking Pennell out of this game really was surprising. And that's one question mark that I'm going to have, you know, going through the rest of this season is how are they going to play those guys? How are they going to determine who's playing, who's not? Because honestly, in this situation, I cannot imagine why Ivy was playing and Pennell wasn't. Pennell's, what, 330 pounds? Just the exact type of defender that you want to go up against Derrick Henry. And, you know, on Derrick Henry's 68-yard run, Ivy just got washed right out of the play. And I'm not saying Pennell would have been able to make that play, but I would have felt better with him there and at least probably not getting washed as quickly as Ivy did. And I like Ivy. I've said that. But he's not the run defender right. That Pennell is.
To your player's strengths, I'm totally with you. I have nothing against Ivy, but he's got a specific role that he's best at. My big thing is this was a tight game where the Titans had to throw some to come back, and Ryan Tannehill still only went for 180 yards. So the concept that you felt that you needed to defend the pass by changing your active lineup more than defending Derrick Henry in the run, that's just a miscalculation from the top down. That's on Andy Reid.
And I would agree with that as long as there's not something that was wrong with Pennell that we don't know about, because at this point we don't have any notification that there was anything wrong with him. But enough, I agree with you.
I didn't consider that. But if he's a healthy scratch like LaShawn was, that's got to be a serious, serious step. I thought Jonnu Smith, can't say he was the focus. Like I said, he only threw 19 passes, Tannehill. But Smith was the got four of them. I thought he looked pretty good. I was surprised that their backup tight end was the one who scored. Honestly, I'm a little surprised that Adam Humphries only made one catch. I expected AJ Brown to be more of a factor as well. But when you look at defending the pass, I know everybody was really upset at the time, that long pass play to Javarius Ward, when he actually did down the player and it wasn't a touchdown. So that was the right call. Good job, refs. You did one right. But I don't want everybody to get so upset. Everybody was so high on Javarius Ward last week, and it seemed like the reaction was really, really negative on him because of that one play. And I just want to say this again. You just need consistency out of Javarius. I feel he's still making forward progress. I'm not ready to call him a done deal or even, you know, a starter yet, although I think he's really close. But this is going to happen. He's going to continue to get better and take a step back, that kind of thing. Am I wrong, or are you really upset with that as well?
I'm not upset with him because where's a safety play over the top? He had safety help. I mean, that was my biggest issue, is not necessarily him getting beat, because honestly, that's almost where you want him. If he's playing with safety help, he's expecting to have the underneath stuff and be cutting on things that are coming underneath. As to over the top, somebody's supposed to be there and supposed to be helping him. At least that's what I saw from the defensive side. So I can't argue. I can't say that that's Ward's fault. I'm not saying that he maybe shouldn't have been closer, but you're not going to have every play played perfectly. And if he's expecting safety help over the top and he gets beat over the top, then that's not really on him.
I have to say that I felt like he played pretty good the rest of the day. I thought Breland was up and down. I thought Breland almost got his hands on that one pass. I thought it was to AJ Brown. He almost grabbed it. Then it came through his hand. Brown almost had it, and then it rolled out. I mean, that was a series of missteps that I don't know. I just...
Well, and that's after the insane fumble that I never thought should have been a fumble by Ryan Tannehill in the first half. I still don't understand.
I don't think
that
he ever got
call.
Control of it back. It looked like he was kind of nonchalant about it, just kind of eh. And I,
but he had his hand on the ball and he was not marked down. So that's really what I was questioning. And I understand he looked awfully nonchalant about it. I agree. But you know, if you have your hand on the ball and you're being touched down, I would think, you know, at that point, if your butt's on the ground, you're down. Doesn't matter. It went Kansas City's way. It ended up not mattering at the end of the day. A lot of question marks going into this coming week against the Chargers. Kansas City needed to be able to have this game to have some space in between them and the Raiders and the Chargers. And now all that's gone. They may have an opportunity still to get a game at home. But you know, at this point, I'm not so sure that they can play for this.
No, it's going to be tight. We're going to have to see what else falls out. And honestly, we have to see how they're going to rebuild this offensive line. Last thing before we break, and we'll dig deeper this week, folks. Don't worry. We're going to use as much opinion as we can this week. But overall, do you feel like this team kind of let themselves down in lacking effort, in lacking intensity, because Mahomes was back and they all kind of took a step back again and said, oh, we got Pat, we should be fine?
I think it's possible. I also think that you can't look at the second quarter and go, what the heck, and think that things are going to be okay. Kansas City was in a position to really place this game out of reach. And the missed touchdown to Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins missing a catch that he probably should have had for a first down. They have to punt. Then I think it's the next possession. They come back and Damien Williams puts the ball on the ground and they run it back for a touchdown. And then the next possession after that, you have two offensive linemen go out in back-to-back plays. It's just a litany of things that continue to go wrong for this team. And that's after Tyreek Hill got hurt on the same drive a couple of plays before. And he was able to come back in and play. There are so many injuries they're having to deal with right now. You really hope that LDT and Fisher are going to be back, because if they are at that point, then I think you're back to maybe you're starting offensive line. And for the first time in this season, since the first game of the year, and Cam Irving has been horrible at times. He just absolutely got Mahomes leveled during this game in one play. And that leveling is what actually took Mitch Schwartz out of the game for a play. And then when Mitch Schwartz goes out for a play, Rankin moves over to the right side and he gets hurt on that next play. So if Schwartz is in, Rankin likely never gets hurt. And likely Rankin is done.
And I
got to
say, I felt like Rankin was just starting to settle in and get a feel for what he was doing and how he was doing it. So I think it's a bigger loss than it looks like.
Well, yeah. And then you're having to flip over Wiley to right tackle and Wisniewski to left guard and Allegretti at right guard. And I mean, your offensive line is all in a jumble. And, you know, at that point, and that's why I say it may not have mattered that Hardman caught the ball at the 3 yard line, because at that point, I don't know that Kansas City was going to do much with a patchwork offensive line, but they had the opportunity to. a lot of miscues in this game, and they've got a lot to figure out. And I really don't know where they go from here, because with Patrick Mahomes back and throwing for 400 yards and three touchdowns, and him actually leaving some plays on the field, this was a game Kansas City should have won, and it should have been close.
We're going to continue to dig into the fallout here, folks. We will try to talk to Matt Derrick tomorrow. We're going to have more opinion for it and see if we can get down to the bottom of this, but we'll leave it at this today. It's a dogfight the rest of the season. They have to figure enough out. I don't care how, when, win ugly, win big. It doesn't matter. They just got to win ball games. We'll see if they can do it. Thank you for your time today. We know you're not very happy, but we will have something to brighten your day tomorrow. Thanks for listening to us today, and we'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.